Happy New Year, everyone. Happy 2025. Not sure how many days you're allowed to say Happy New Year. If you're like a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan or Larry David, I think you get like a few days, maybe till the 5th. Maybe. Is that the last day? Are you one of those people that go to like week 2, week 3? Do you say for a month? Depends. What if you haven't seen anyone? What if you haven't seen the person in a month or two? Do you say it in the early, you know, February? Do you say at the end of January? All valid questions, but Happy New Year nonetheless. We have a really fun pod, the first one of the year. Really funny pod. We're just kind of railing to each other. Lots of funny jokes and jabs between me and the guys. We kick off with the college football playoff recap from the quarterfinals. Texas escaping Arizona State. That was a hell of a game. Scataboo, a beast, man. We also talk about Ohio State coming out looking hungry with all their weapons, just laying out Oregon. Oregon looking really fat. We talked about it before all these games happened and you know, what scenarios could possibly break down. And we were right on the money for all these games. So happy to see that. Happy to hear from that. And then we kind of talk briefly about the games moving forward. But recapping all the games, especially Jason's Notre Dame, especially, right? He's pretty excited, pretty happy. He's in a really good mood. So kicking off the year right. After we do all that, this is the last NFL lines for the regular season. So weird spreads all week. Who's playing, who's not, who's sitting. Now, I'm not a big fan of Saquon Barkley sitting out this week. I kind of want him to go after the rushing record. I talked a little bit about that. And then Jason finds out that me and Aaron were talking about Ben Johnson off the air, about other possible landing scenarios for him, which Jason's reaction was priceless. It was really good. We also talk about other opportunities for coaches. Jason puts me on the spot for who's getting fired at the end of the season. Black Monday is coming up, so we'll have a fun pod on that one. But to our count, about 10 coaches may or should be getting fired. Could be a record-setting Monday, but that's if I was a GM. It's a good thing I'm not, right? A lot of people will be fired. And then it wouldn't be a pod without us talking more Chicago Bears. I did not imagine myself talking about this much Bears football ever in my life. But here we are. My algorithm's all messed up on IG and on X. Good thing I'm not subscribed to anything on Reddit or any other boards. But we do talk about some other scenarios. Like, what if Jason doesn't get his dream, you know, his late Santa wish of Ben Johnson becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears? Lots of political drama happening behind the scenes. Does Flores sweep in and get it? Is there any other outside opportunities? Jason brought some really good stuff, so you don't want to go anywhere. The first pod of 2025. It's exciting. Don't go anywhere. And Happy New Year. We're recording Thursday night, January 2nd at 9 o'clock after 40 minutes of technical difficulties. Gotta love it. Starting the year off right. Right, Jason?
It's okay. Notre Dame won, so the year's already been started
won.
Off right.
Yeah, man. So we did really well in our picks last week. We broke down the games. Not going to brag, but everything I said came true. It was a hell of a week. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to call anything else out. That's it. Tough games coming up.
Can we get a fact check? Check the tape on that?
We can fact check. All right. I did say Notre Dame would be blowing out Georgia. I did say it by a lot, but it was a great game. 23-10. Jason, feeling good?
Feeling great, man. We've only done every episode of this podcast to commiserate in my misfortune of all of my terrible sports teams this
look
entire
at you.
Fall season. So,
wait, are you wearing the gear too?
Oh yeah, man.
Let's see the shirt.
I had the shirt right there. The Irish.
What else you got rocking?
That's it. I had a different Notre Dame shirt on yesterday when I thought the game was going to be played yesterday. But you know, this has been a good luck hat for a long time. So you know, took it out for the big playoff game.
I like it.
But we start off the year right. You know, 2025 for me, Notre Dame wins a huge playoff game. The SEC looks terrible doing it. you know, big things are on the horizon, maybe for the Bears, maybe for the White Sox and Blackhawks. We could have a turnaround. 2025 could be my year for sports.
I wouldn't go that far. I think we should just cap it off with Notre
Dame. It's young, but it started off well.
This is a big win, man. This is the 13th win of the season, most in program history, in Notre Dame history. And it also snapped an 8-game losing streak on the New Year's Eve bowl games. So that was really great. Notre Dame, man, had some pretty big stops. There was lots of criticism after the game about Smart's play calling or maybe going a little bit more aggressive. It did start really slow. I was in another engagement, and I was talking to some people that were keeping tabs of the games. Really slow. It was 3-0. We had a couple field goals. Riley Leonard had a really big run that kind of set him up for that field goal. And then the defense forced some incredible fumbles. One of them was in Georgia territory with like about a minute or two left in the first half. And then they went up 13-3. And then that kickoff return for touchdown to start off of the second half took them up 23. And then you could just feel the air coming out of the sails. Is that the right phrase? The air coming out of the sails of Georgia after that. They did make it somewhat competitive. I thought, man, what's the quarterback's name again in Georgia?
Gunnar Stockton.
Stockton. Solid game. I thought he did okay from what I saw, but a little bit too much. And, dude, Notre Dame had some pretty big transfers on both sides. Big stops. Big D. It was impressive, man. I think right when the season ended, I did mention how Notre Dame was possibly one of my favorite teams, you know, top four. And look at it now. The top four seedings in the college playoffs are all out. So maybe the playoff is working.
Yeah, a lot of other pundits are twisting themselves into a pretzel to talk about after the first week, oh, it was too many blowouts and goofed be the first round buys and this and that. And, you know, oh, it's a bunch of mediocre games here and there. But now, hey, every team that got the first round bye, the SEC champion, the Big 12 champion, the Big 10 champion, all of these impressive resumes who got the extra rest. Okay, they come out flat. Rome said that about Georgia, I believe, about coming out flat. So what's the advantage of the first round bye? Because all the narrative last week was that we were going to change the playoff because, you know, Boise State didn't deserve the first round bye and, you know, Texas are the best four teams to deserve the bye. But now the narrative's changed out there. But going back to the game itself, you mentioned the defense for Notre Dame, but special teams wise, I mean, that was Notre Dame's offense, really, because the kick return touchdown to start the second half, what they were doing from, you know, making the field goals, there were some clutch field goals. There was a few penalties and misfortunes in trying to block some punts, but they were being aggressive going after Georgia to make the plays. And probably the turning point of the game was Georgia's fumble. That was a strip sack fumble, really, with like 37 seconds left in the half. I question at that moment, just watching the game, like what was Kirby Smart doing?
Yeah.
Even trying on his own 20, throwing a pass at this point where they haven't done it offensively. Man, you take that down 6-3 going into the half, but they really put Notre Dame in a position to score a touchdown. And it was like they got a touchdown, which they did, really just changed the momentum of the game where it was like super close. And now Notre Dame's going to half at the ultimate high of adrenaline, and it carried it over, you know, into the second half to start too. But defense and special teams showed out. I mean, if you were to tell me at the start of that game, when you're looking kind of at, if you're playing like box score guy here, that, hey, for the Irish, Jeremiah Love is going to get 6 carries only for 19 yards, I would have said that's a Notre Dame loss. You know, Riley Leonard threw for 90 yards. You know, that would have been a Notre Dame loss. But they felt in possession of the game the entire time. And Riley Leonard using his legs, which was the secret to Notre Dame being successful post Northern Illinois loss, you know, that was the difference offensively, where when they needed a big third down conversion, he was able to, you know, make it happen. On the flip side, for the Georgia offense, what Notre Dame's defense was able to do, you know, Trevor Etienne, only 38 yards. Nate Frazier, only 37 yards. Gunnar Stockton, they were going to make him throw the ball. They did. And you were talking about the second half, and Georgia was getting into the game when they scored their touchdown in the third quarter. hey, we thought something was going to happen, but that was the most they got. And Notre Dame's defense held tight the rest of the game.
Yeah, you're talking about like a 17-point swing, man. It was 3-3, tied up. The guys I was talking to were complaining that nothing was happening. Took a gamble, set them up Notre Dame to go 13-3, and then that kickoff return, 23, lights out, man. Pretty wild. Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, this game was wrapped up in 25 seconds of actual gameplay. You had a field goal, a strip sack, next play touchdown by Leonard Riley, halftime, yeah. Kickoff return. Yeah. 17 points by Notre Dame in 25 seconds of gameplay.
It's a big
was
swing.
Too much for Georgia to overcome. You know, we came into this game liking Notre Dame, all three of us, given the fact that Beck was out for Georgia, a quarterback that had never started a game, now on the biggest stage against a top defense. And like Jason said, Notre Dame said, look, if we're going to go down, we're going to go down to this guy. We're going to stop the run game. They did. I don't think Georgia had a carry over 4 yards. Maybe they got one over 4 yards, but everything seemed to be negative yardage or 2 yards, 1 yard. You know, they put the pressure on. Al Golden put up a great defensive game plan. The DNs were rushing. They were running stunts with their D linemen. Big talk coming in. You know, Jason mentioned their best defensive lineman being out. Didn't need him tonight. Linebackers and the other guys stepped up. Secondary played really well, and they just got after Georgia. I mean, Kirby Smart, you can question what he did, what he didn't do. I would have just ran the ball or taken a knee and gone to the half down 6-3. It looks a lot better than 13-3. But, you know, he was trying to get a spark from the team. I mean, Gunnar Stockton
did. I kind of get it.
He threw a couple nice balls. They dropped a few. And at the end of the day, you know, Notre Dame's defense, special teams, and Riley Leonard's legs, like Jason said, that's what Notre Dame wins. That's the recipe going forward. And it was better than Georgia's best shot.
Even in the second half when damn, what's the quarterback's name again?
Gunnar Stockton.
Stockton. I don't know why it's just – he's a new Murray for me, I guess. He has some really nice throws in the second half. They were moving the ball, and they were like pretty close, like 10, 15 yards out. There was 14 and short or fourth and short, and Notre Dame came with a big stop, and like that was it. They kind of held on 23-10, got one more field goal out of it.
Well, there was also a big play. I think Jason probably saw it too on their second drive where they completed a pass down the sidelines. The guy got tackled, I believe, right at the 10 or 11, but you had that penalty.
Oh,
no, you had the penalty where the player ran into the official. He stepped into the official zone there on the sideline, pushed him back 15 yards.
What was that about? I didn't under.
You know, they didn't have the old get back coach, man. You remember, Aaron, we were playing back in the day, man. You had the coach being get back, you know, players getting too aggressive.
The get back coach. I love that.
Yeah, that was the get back.
He might have been there, but he wasn't on that side. It was a little too quick for the get back coach to get out there.
I don't recall that ever happening.
It ended up costing Georgia a possible touchdown there. I believe they got a field goal, but that really hurt the momentum wise because it would have been, I believe, first and goal or right outside the 10. And who knows? They might have been able to punch it in and go up 7-0. They got the field goal. Notre Dame responded the next drive back to tie it. And from there, just Notre Dame pretty much in control.
Any other final thoughts on this game?
On the game overall, Georgia wasn't the Georgia team of the past couple years, and that is what everybody saw and gave Notre Dame this opening where ESPN captured it. What ESPN or what Notre Dame has done in the transfer portal, and those were a lot of the players that were coming true and making big plays, whether it was Riley Leonard or – you know, a couple of the other guys, like in the kicking game, Mitch Jeter, the kick returner, Jaden Harrison, all transfers that they're getting. And Notre Dame is recruiting well, but finding those gaps in the team, in the transfer portal to get there. And in this moment has paid dividends. So when you have a Georgia team that just isn't as deep, isn't as talented as the dominant team for a 3-year period, there was an opportunity here. And while I've had fun and will continue to have fun poking at the SEC, and I'm sure others will too, the SEC wasn't as good this year. There was a narrative trying to make it good, but they're they're good teams, but it wasn't great. They weren't head and shoulders above everything. But yes, I think the Big Ten is 4-1 against the SEC in bowl games right now alone. So when you're stacking up conference and conference, whether your players are playing or not right now, you didn't do anything during the regular season. You quote unquote beat up on each other with this tough strength of schedule, but you got a Tennessee team blown out in the first round of the playoffs. You have Georgia here losing. Texas, while they did win, Arizona State was, you know, we'll talk about that a little later. Arizona State played with them with every bit where no one was going to give Arizona State a shot. And so while the SEC has good teams, you are not the superior great conference where you're just dismiss everybody. And now that proves yourself in the playoff where you have, hey, you got the Midwest representing here. You got two Big Ten teams, independent Notre Dame, and the only SEC team is Texas, who was in the Big 12 a year ago.
I wasn't sure when you're going to jump into the SEC stuff, but you just kind of took it in there. You guys are so up on the SEC all year long, talking smack on like Texas and how great the SEC was, but it's kind of funny to see you guys turn around. So it's nice.
We'll get into Texas. I mean, I don't think Texas is great by any means necessary, but to elaborate on Jason's point, Georgia's not the same dominant team they were before. Now, coming in, if they had Carson Beck in this game, would the outcome have been different? I don't know. Would it have been a different, more competitive game to where I think we would have got a similar game that we saw from Arizona State, Texas, or Texas, Georgia in the SEC final? I believe so. Not having him hurts Georgia's chances for sure. I mean, you throw in a quarterback that had never been in a game unless he was up 21 points and then rescued Georgia against Texas in the SEC final. I don't know. Maybe that says something about Texas and Jason's point about the SEC not being very good if you can lose to a quarterback that's never played a meaningful game. We'll find out how that plays out going forward. But yeah, the SEC isn't going to be as dominant as they were. There's not going to be dominant programs anymore of NIL, transfer portal. Teams are going to pony up, whether it's every year or once every 3, 4, 5 years where, you know, 20, 25 million to buy a roster and go for it.
I don't know.
That's where it's going
to
be.
I think it's too early to make that call right now.
I'm already making the call. The dominant programs of being completely dominating where we're going to have repeat national champions, those days are over.
If you're looking at all the teams that are going far, they all have established programs and they're still recruiting really well. And they're using the NIL to fill those holes. Notre Dame's example number one.
They can be, but you have to have an infrastructure. And the days of Alabama and Georgia being 3 to 4 deep where those guys aren't going anywhere. Right now, if I'm not starting, I'm leaving. And, you know, you aren't going to like that as a Georgia, Bama, you know, Tennessee fan. But, hey, you're not going to be deep in every position, get all the good players. Now your second string guy at Georgia is going to go play at another school who is, you know, a 4-star prospect there. And it's not a coincidence. And, you don't want to talk about the underworld of college football. But as soon as everybody got to pay their players, all of a sudden the SEC just hasn't been as good. So when you're not, you know, getting those side local dealership deals in the South that no one wants to talk about.
Was that Shane Killis joke? With Alabama, I mean, Jones,
I mean it's true. I mean, it's always a thing in college football where the schools that always got in trouble, your USC's and Miami's, were schools in big cities because big cities they're in a, you know, you'll have some expose and something up there, you know, Reggie Bush and buying a house, and you'll hear this stuff in the media, but no one's gonna say something in small town Tuscaloosa about what they're doing at Alabama. And now, hey, the money's everywhere, and if you got a big booster or you're willing to play the game right and you know how to bring in the right transfers, you're going to be a competitive program every year. And to Aaron's point, there is going to be no dominance year after year. You're going to have really good SEC teams. I'm not saying the SEC is going to be bad. It's just, hey, your conference isn't the juggernaut schedule you think it is. Everyone's going to be super competitive, and doing preseason rankings and telling me I got all these top teams based on how many 5-star guys you have, it's not going to be the right ranking system come season's end when these teams actually have to play each other and there's results after.
Yeah, I want to get back to the games, but like real quick though, never in the history has there ever been a system that kind of broke everything up where it never returns back to someone figuring out the programs or like the system in place and finding a way to gain a competitive advantage. I'm pretty sure someone will figure that out and we will see a team. It's just, we're kind of going through this transition phase, and I'm pretty confident we'll see another dominant program again. It's just, we'll see who it is. It's too early. Next game, Ohio State, Oregon. I don't know where to start at this game because it was a beating. 41-21. Was that the final score?
Yes.
I got that. It started off wild because most of the televisions or like the telecasts were still playing the Texas-Arizona State game, which we'll talk about next. So I missed the opening touchdown drive by Jeremiah Smith, who had two touchdown catches. But right when we got to the game, Ohio State got the ball back. 3 plays, 1 minute, 50-yard drive. It was quick, and they had a receiving touchdown to Igbuka, who is lightning fast, man. Ohio State's wide receivers are really, really, really good, really great weapons, and it was off to the races. The defense swarmed the Ducks all game, man, and this was the game that I said that the Ducks would probably come out flat. I was kind of treating it like too long of a bye week, and they just didn't look none the part. They kind of fought a little bit. I think I sent out a tweet, and I was kind of trying to do like a reverse jinx, saying how like they looked defeated, demolished. They came back, got a touchdown, started the second half really well, got another score. But, you know, 35-15 at that point, it wasn't much after that. I wrote Gunnar Stockton's name on the Ohio State, Oregon State, Oregon notes, so that's why I couldn't get it right.
Well, Ohio State's on that game. Ohio State's quarterback, Will Howard. So I think that was probably the story early in the first half, but overall,
really well. He did really well.
But having Jeremiah Smith, I think, was probably, if you didn't know who he was going into that game, for people who didn't, that was the star-making portion of the first half. And yeah, Rome, you called it. Oregon came out flat. I didn't think they would have. It was going to be a tough game, but they played the entire season, you know, in such a fashion that, hey, this Oregon team was going to be different when it came down to the big games because they had been tested by Ohio State early in the year. There were some close games. They won some blowouts. Like, this was everything that Phil Knight and Dan Lanning kind of put together from an investment standpoint. It's going to be different. And, man, did they come out flat, and the deficit was just way too big. I mean, you're talking being down 34-0. It was pretty much a wrap at that point, and you needed to be perfect in the back end, and it was going to be a tall task. And Ohio State's just got too much talent top to bottom. It's wild looking back at that Michigan-Ohio State game, like
wild.
how that game was even that close to a certain point.
By the way, Michigan, big win. Did you guys watch the Alabama game?
Yeah, big win. Big by Michigan. Hey, Big Ten overall.
Alabama started the year 2024 losing to Michigan in the previous format of the playoff on January 1st. They end 2024 losing to Michigan in a bowl game. It's great. Can't write it any better than that. But back to this game.
I forgot Michigan was one of Rome's 10 favorite college football teams. But yeah,
Rome's like the transfer portal. If you pay him enough NIL, he'll support you the next week on the show. That's all there is to it, man.
This guy. Yeah, in the first half, and I think it was like, I wrote down a stat. So Ohio State had like a nice run. Henderson bulldozed. They were 31-0 with 3:47 left. The yardage differential was 3:47 to 66. The average 14.5 versus 3.7. It was not even close, and like we were like in cruise control in the fourth quarter basically, but I didn't expect it to be that much, like that much of a difference. Like, we knew one of these teams would be due for one of these things. It happens. I just didn't think Oregon would come out that flat, and I really don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's saying Oregon came out flat. I mean, sure, it played a role in it. They just ran into an Ohio State team.
They were ready.
That's pissed off. All Ohio State heard after they lost to Michigan is how they're a bunch of crybabies.
Well, they are.
They can't take getting bullied.
They can't.
Ryan Day's going to quit and wants to leave town, and we should fire him.
He looked like it.
And yet, during that week off, and getting ready to prep for this game, all the leadership of that team came together and said, let's finish this. Let's go get a natty. And they're dialed in. They're focused. And they're just destroying teams. We could talk smack on the SEC and Tennessee. They showed out better than Oregon did. And Oregon's been perfect all year. I came in, I took Ohio State in that game because I just said it's tough to go 16-0 and be perfect like Oregon has.
Yeah.
And now you're playing against who I said was the best team. I picked preseason Ohio State to win the Natty.
Did you?
Yeah. That's Damn. Who I had. So I'm not shocked. Jeremiah Smith's a beast. The run game's good. Jason said, look, we don't know what happened in the Michigan game. What happened in the Michigan game is they had a stupid game plan.
Rivals,
but... They didn't trust Will Howard. I think Ryan Day and Chip Kelly got together and said, look, the only way we're going to win a title is we got to trust this guy. And he's delivered these first two games. Will Howard's balled out. He's playing the best of any quarterback right now in the playoff, which is crazy because we would have thought, given what we saw from Michigan
maybe.
And in other big games,
maybe.
That he would struggle. But I mean, if Ohio State continues to do what they're doing now, there's not even anybody that's going to give them a game. So we'll see if they can keep it going.
I hate saying it, but the way Ohio State beat the crap out of Oregon, I'm like, oh man, this is the team to beat.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The playoff has given Ohio State an opportunity to play for the title. And potentially like, hey, we're going to improve throughout the year and not bemoan a loss during, you know, the beginning of the season to Oregon or the late loss to Michigan and still put this team in a position to win the national championship. Because when you look at the playoff format in previous years, that loss to Michigan ends the season. It's over with. And even if you look at if we were to do top four playoffs, Notre Dame wouldn't have been in the top four. Oregon and Georgia, number one and two rank, would have been in the final four. And they're not even getting into the final four right now. So when you look at the committee and how we do things, it doesn't always yield what is going to be the best team, you know, when they actually go on there and go onto the field. And Ohio State's really proving that. And yeah, I agree with you, Rome. I don't know how this team isn't favored, you know, to win the national championship at this point, because they look like the best team right now after these last two playoff weeks.
They got a tough matchup next. We can talk briefly about, well, let's rewind really quickly. Just we won't go into depth, but Notre Dame plays Penn State next. How you feel? How you feeling about that matchup?
I feel great about the matchup. I was more concerned about the Georgia matchup. Obviously, a little easier with Gunnar Stockton as the backup starting. But, you know, Penn State's looked good in the playoff. You can't hold it against James Franklin of not winning the big game, even though he didn't win Ohio State this year, didn't win the Big Ten championship game against Oregon. But they have won the games they needed to win. But if you're questioning whether they've really been tested, not maybe so much versus Boise State. They shut down Genty. I mean, if we're getting to that game right now. But
we'll talk about that next. Yeah, we'll talk about it next.
I feel good about Notre Dame's chances against Penn State.
Ah, all right. I don't feel good about Texas playing Ohio State. That's why I mentioned it, because
I
like Texas.
Sure.
Nobody should feel good about playing Ohio State right now.
We'll talk about that game next.
Nobody
as well.
Should.
But you know what? Are we done with Ohio State, Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State, just one last thing. I mean, say what you want about Ryan Day, and I was listening to some other shows.
I don't like his goatee.
Ryan Day at Ohio State,
it's too much black
dye. They have a Michigan problem.
It's your kind of goatee, too. Aaron.
Whatever it is with Michigan, they have a problem.
Yeah.
And no matter what, he's lost four straight. But guess what? Michigan's not in this playoff. And now it's behind them. And yeah. Every other team, whether it's Big Ten or non-conference opponents, Ryan Day's only lost, what, like three games in his career, four games in his career against non-Big Ten teams that aren't like Michigan.
He just
seems more relaxed. Like, you look at him, he's smiling. I never seen Ryan Day smiling right now. Like, he's just grin to grin.
I think the loss to Michigan, yeah, you know, Boos is going to be upset. Probably was the best thing that happened to them, maybe. Kind of woke them up.
Well, not only that, it gave him that extra week off to not even have to prepare for Oregon.
Yeah.
Right? Because we already knew they were going to get a home game because they were going to get in the top 8 seed. So it just kind of gave them a chance to look in the mirror and regroup as a team and have those 3 weeks off to get ready for Tennessee and say, look, guys,
that's so crazy.
We
got to
suck it up. And they have. I mean, defensively, they've just been dominant, too. But there's not a weakness right now on this team, and that's scary.
The weapons, man. They are crazy good. Ohio State's crazy good. I don't think I have actually paid it that much attention to them until that game. Let's go back to Texas, Arizona State. Texas came out swinging. I think I texted you guys, LFG. Let's freaking go. Back-to-back pods edited.
You had that on copy-paste after the Michigan got off to a 16-0 start.
I did.
Too.
I was really excited about the Michigan game. I love the Michigan game. I woke up really for that. Texas came out swinging in the first. Punt return for the touchdown for 75 yards. Yours had a pass a touchdown to Moore for 23. Texas defense was really solid in this game. They had some pretty big stops, multiple stops, especially in the first half on a couple fourth and shorts. The quarterback pressure, spying Leavitt, pretty phenomenal. They even kept the Scatterboo at bay for much of the first and second. And then they were up 17-3 and a half. It was really nice. Safety, though, at the end of that, it kind of felt like the momentum switched a little bit. They had a big stop. Then they got the safety, turned it up to 17-5. And then Arizona State responded, man. Scatterboo had a throwing touchdown, that 42-yarder. Didn't go completely the distance of the 40 yards. The receiver came back and caught it, but went in for the score. And then Arizona State came out with a big stop. Scatterboo had a big reception. It was like a play. I was on the left side of the field for like another 30, 40 yards. Two defensive penalties that kind of set them up for a goal line. They got another touchdown, two-point conversion. Now we have a tight game. And through the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, overtime, it was, dude, the Texas thing, it reminded me of their game against Georgia, obviously in the conference championship, where the play calling all of a sudden changed, got a little bit more reserved late in the fourth quarter going into the overtime. And they barely made it out on a couple fourth and longs and got lucky and came out on top. They did win the game. I did say by a touchdown. I didn't expect it to go to overtime, though. They should have won that game a lot earlier. They didn't score. They didn't do much in the third up until 6 minutes left, and it scared the shit out of me. I'm not sure if I text you guys that I was nervous, but I think I did like a few crying emojis. I thought they lost it for sure. A couple missed field goals. What's his name, Aaron?
Brett Auburn?
Auburn. What a name to go to Texas, and your last name's Auburn.
Well, I mean, it fits in to join the SEC with a last name like that.
Dude, janked that field goal that could have won it with 2 seconds left. Overtime, could have kicked another field goal right off the lower left goalpost. I think it was like only 35 yards out, too. He just shanked that thing. Wasn't a good hold. Luckily, they got a stop, and then hell of a touchdown and interception to close out the game. Thoughts on that, guys? AT?
Yeah, I mean, a lot happened in that game, really. Texas came out. Three plays, got a touchdown, a 54-yard pass and a 21-yard pass for a touchdown. Then you get the punt return for a touchdown.
It reminded very much of the Notre Dame game, you know, like that second half.
Yeah, I mean, special team scores are big. I mean, for Texas, we talked about it while Jason had a little bit of technical difficulties, but Texas has just been so inconsistent on offense. I mean, their defense is legit. It's a top five, top 10 defense. It's going to give Ohio State fits. It's going to be the best defense that Ohio State's played, I think, this year. And they've played against some good ones in Penn State and Michigan. So I think Texas has that going forward for them that can help them out. But Texas, like Quinn Ewers, if he doesn't have a run game, he just does not look good. Like their run game sets up so much of their play action to where their offense runs smooth. And Arizona State, to their credit, their defense was their weakness outside of their kicking game and the special teams, their field goal kicker. And their defense for Arizona State balled out. I don't think people are giving them enough credit. I mean, Texas only scored 17 points minus that punt return in regulation. For them to only score 17 points against Arizona State, who I thought they would have at least handled 28-31 points offensively without overtime, give a lot of credit, man. Arizona State, we said, would come in, cover that game, 12.5. It actually got bet up as high as 14. didn't look good early, but Scadabo, he kept playing his heart out. Levitt played well for them, and Arizona State battled, but Texas came through in the end.
Yeah, what's up with the play calling, though, man? Like, why the same issues against Georgia, against Arizona State? Scadabo, though, MVP, balled out. He kind of called that he's the best running back in college football, and he looked every bit of the part. Kind of remind me of, I don't know, man. Who came out of Stanford?
Toby McCaffrey? Gerhardt.
McCaffrey, Gerhardt, just he's a bull. They had a nickname for him, and I couldn't catch it. I didn't write it down. It was like White Rhino or something. Hell of a nickname, but you got to imagine he's going to be doing a lot on Sundays very soon.
He definitely was trending all over X. I had tons of people that I know texting me that this should be who the Bears should draft. I'm just like, you need to calm down here. But
most definitely.
but yeah, I mean, he was the star in the second half. You mentioned them controlling him in the first half, but they kept feeding him the ball. He got 30 carries in the game. He threw the ball. He was, you know, he had a big, you know, he had 8 catches and, you know, a huge play there. So, like, he was every bit the offense to really send them into the overtime and then, you know, up to the wire where it was at. Going back to Texas, what Aaron mentioned, it never felt all year that Ewers just had total command of this job. We're bringing in Arch Manning after he got hurt and don't know, you know, who to play. We played both of them. And I think in that first Georgia game, they were playing each of them. And, you know, you got old saying, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have
you got
one.
None. Yeah.
And so I don't think there's a lot of people that believed, you know, he's the actual solution to their problems. And to Aaron's point, he's exactly right. You can't get the running game going. You know, their lead back only had, he got 18 carries, but only 45 yards. So that Arizona State defense, to what Aaron's talking about, you know, kept them at bay and really didn't allow the offense to move down the field and allow Ewers easy play action or different looks. And, you know, by then Texas, I think, should have blown them out in the first half and it should have been over. But to Arizona State's credit, you know, they kept it close and they did
fought.
The things right. They fought and kept themselves in the game. And man, like, it was one of those things, you know, how hard they fought. 'Cause at the end of the overtime, like, everyone looked gassed. Like, Arizona State, like, they left everything on the field. And, you know, the Big 12 was I would hate to go back to listen to our podcast talking about the Big 12 the entire year for who we thought was going to be, you know, coming out of that conference and everyone was
making
a run at it.
One.
Yeah. You know, where it was, I think I'm pretty sure Aaron had Arizona State as a team to watch if we go back to some of that stuff. So I think
I jumped on about midway. I said keep an eye on Arizona State.
Okay, all right.
I did talk about them. But I can't remember when though.
Yeah. So there was something to them, but yeah, you know, you had the BYUs and Colorados and everyone within that conference, and them being able to persevere, you know, not a lot of people took them seriously. And hey, you take, you know, a team that was 7-1 in the SEC. A lot of people thought this was the best team in the country through a lot of the years, and you take them to the limit. Like, you got to give Arizona State their credit, because at the beginning of the year, hey, who's going to think this is going to be one of the final 8 teams? You know, this was a team that I think was at the bottom of the Pac-12 last season.
They were picked to finish last in the Big 12 preseason. The preseason poll came out and the media had them last. And
no
this season just said back-to-back, 2 straight years back-to-back, 3-9. And then they make the college football playoff. Quite impressive, man. Quite impressive for sure.
I was listening to the post game from the coach. I don't know why I've got really into post game speeches this year. I feel like I get like a good, I don't know, barometer of how the coaches are. And when they lost the game, a lot of the players were starting to storm off the field. He ran after them, told them to turn back around to shake the Texas players' hands. And just like, if he's doing like little things like that, like, no wonder why this team was competitive. Great team. They were undefeated, or I think they only had one loss with their starting quarterback. Levitt was really great. The Longhorns, man, they really stormed the shit out of him all game. So they definitely belong to the playoff. That was probably the most exciting game so far in these playoffs. Great game. Classic. Can't wait to watch that on ESPN 10 years from now and just remembering watching that and, you know, hoping that I didn't talk too much shit too early and like jinxing my team with you guys. But it was a great game.
You got to remember, too, Arizona State was out without their best wide receiver, that Tyson guy.
He was out, so, yeah.
And yeah, he didn't play in the Big 12 title game. I believe that's why I took Iowa State over them. That was a big mistake. But yeah, Scadabo and Tyson, I think, were responsible for like 65% of that team's total offensive yardage combined.
Was that it?
Wow.
So just those two guys. So that was a big loss. Obviously, you know, they didn't have the receivers and the skill set players yet there to really threaten Texas in the passing game. Scadabo is going to, you know, whether or not the Bears select him or whoever selects him, they're going to get a good guy. But, you know, he's probably a third round selection, second round if somebody wants to take a chance on him.
Real quick, I forgot to mention this, but I had this highlight as a stat. Ohio State, man, I think like 11 of their 12 main guys that they play, they're all fourth or fifth year guys that have been on the, with the program. Everything else has been filled in by NIL.
20 million NIL.
Granted,
that's what they say. That's what they say, man.
True, true. But still got, you know, guys that want to be there because they want to be a Buckeye. So we'll see if that stays true, right? In this whole thing, you guys might have some. You guys definitely have a valid point in your argument for no more dominant teams. But are we done with this game? Should we go back to the Penn State game?
Sure.
So this was on New Year's Eve. I was busy getting ready for a party, which it was chill. It was nice chilling in my house this New Year's Eve, not working. It was fun. But man, Genty couldn't get anything rolling. They kind of made fun of him pregame, postgame. I know X and IG were going crazy how, oh, this is your guy's Heisman guy? Couldn't perform against legitimate defense. Aaron, you mentioned Penn State's D, really good. And they put on a clinic, man. We did talk about how this is the best Penn State team that they've put out in years. And that's all I got. What's your guys' takeaways from it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised. I was riding Boise State all year, but it was going to get to a point where they were to go against some of these Power Five teams that, you know, had more talent across the board. And while there's some really great players on Boise State, you know, they were playing some tight games against the UNLVs and San Jose States of the world here late in the season. And for all the grief you want to give Penn State on them not being able to do it in the big game, Rome, you said it a ton this year. Like, this Penn State team looks different. And there were some runs, like that run from Nick Singleton. I mean, that thing looked like it was in, like, double time speed for how fast he broke through the hole and got through that. I think it was like a 58-yard run. So, you know, there was a different level of athletes. I don't think this does anything for Genty. I think he's going to be a productive back in the NFL. But when you go against, yeah, hey, there's a legit defensive line that's got some, you know, NFL caliber front sevens in Penn State, you know, it's going to be a different type of game. At the same time, though, like, while Penn State did cover, Boise State was lingering for a little while. So, you know, there was a point there where it's like, man, like, you know, I picked Penn State to cover. It was a pretty big spread still. But Boise State was lingering around there. And if a couple of things go a different way, all of a sudden this game's a one-score game here in the third or fourth quarter. So Penn State pulled away and really clamped down in Boise State in the fourth quarter. But wasn't really surprised by where the result was at. And I think that it fed into the narrative where, hey, this is probably the last time you're going to see a non-ACC, SEC, Big Ten.
I don't know.
You're not going to get the Mountain West getting a first bye around here anymore, likely, unless they do something really spectacular. You know, they're going to make, you know, Boise State winning the Mountain West is going to be playing in the first round. I don't think they're not going to get that first round bye anymore.
Yeah, they mentioned how they kept Genty. I can't. Oh, that name's going to trip me up, but they kept him at bay. He still got over 100 yards. He just didn't go past 125. Was it Barry Sanders' record is still intact? So Penn State, just like Ohio State, destroyed their round one matchup, destroyed round two. These two teams look really primed. I don't know. It's almost as if playing in round one kind of gives them a competitive advantage because they're just like sharper. I guess, well, everybody's played in the first round because everyone that had a bite.
Yeah, I mean, Jason's the one that's kind of touched on this a lot. How were those teams with the first round bye look? Would the rest do them well, or they look rusty? And they all looked rusty.
Yeah.
They all came out the gate slow. People talking smack on Ginty. Like you said, Rome, he's still got over 100 yards. The only second running back all season to get over 100 against this Penn State defense.
It's not a good game. Yeah.
And Penn State's mission coming out was to stop him from running. They still gave up over 300 yards in the passing game, 400 yards total. To what Jason said, this was a 10-point game that a touchdown got called back on Boise State for illegal hands to the face.
Yeah.
We would have had a 24-21 game, about 12, 13 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. That got called back. I believe they intercepted the pass later, and then Penn State just kept it rolling on the ground. You touched on it earlier, Rome. Penn State, Notre Dame, Jason feeling really good about this matchup. To me, these are two very similar teams. Like, if they were to swap jerseys, you wouldn't know either team from different. Their quarterbacks can all run. They play great defense, and they got running backs that can run the ball. So that playoff game, which is a week from today, Penn State, a little more rest than Notre Dame. That's going to be at the Orange Bowl, I believe, Jason.
Yep.
So Notre Dame's favored by 1.5. That's the early line that came out. My power rankings, I would have had Penn State favored by 1.5, but I think it's going to be a good game. We'll start breaking it down next week and we'll see how it goes. But if Jason's a Notre Dame fan, I think you got to feel good about Notre Dame in that matchup. It's going to be a good one.
It's a good team. Good team.
Very, very similar teams, very similar styles. James Franklin, we talk about him not being able to win the big games, but
dude, him and Ryan Day having big years.
We talk about Ryan Day having a Michigan problem. Well, James Franklin has a Michigan-Ohio State problem, and he hasn't had to play them yet. So we'll see how that goes.
You did mention Boise State still got yardage, and I wrote down a note, but I didn't have any more stats on it, so I looked it up. They still control the time of possession by more than 10 minutes. Double the passing yardage, 300 to 170. Rushing, Penn State did double up what Boise State did, but if you look at
turnovers,
the stats,
right?
Four turnovers for Boise State.
And two missed field goals.
This game should have been a lot closer. So,
it could have been.
It could have been a lot closer.
Yeah, Aaron talked about it in the last pod where Boise State has had some success in these Fiesta Bowls when they beat Oklahoma. And in those games, Boise State didn't make these mistakes. And the turnovers, missing field goals, those are the type of things when Boise State pulled off those upsets, went their way. As big as a fan of Ginty as I was through the entire year empowering this team, I will say his 104 yards did seem a little suspicious at the end of the game when they were down and were like third and long and the coach is running a draw to Ginty when we're down by 17 points.
He did break it for 26 yards, though.
He did. I was texting my friends and stuff throughout the game and everyone's complaining because they obviously had Boise to cover. And they're like, what's this coach doing running a draw third and long?
The first down in that play. I think he was trying to help Ginty prop bets too, because they did everything in their power to get him over 100 yards, everything.
I watched the game, but I had to rewatch highlights, and I did not catch that, Jason. So thank you for pointing that out. Now thinking about, oh yeah, I do remember, watching that.
It was suspicious. It was 3 minutes left. I think it was third and 10 on their side of the field, and they ran a draw.
Jesus Christ! That's bad.
I mean, they got him over the 100 yards. Yeah, it was, but.
Mailing it in without telling you're mailing it in.
Yeah, I mean, they were mailing it in. They're trying to feed their guy. But, I mean, definitely we're making bettors unhappy who had Boise to cover that.
Fun playoff round, though. Thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot better than the first round. And now we got Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. I actually have no complaints with the top four teams right now. No complaints. Everyone belongs.
Nah, this will be... This would be a really good Final Four. I saw a funny tweet on X where you're talking Notre Dame, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State. It's going to look great on a vintage t-shirt 20 years from now that you find in a thrift store or something like that.
Dude, you're right. Might have to buy a t-shirt now.
I don't know. It's great. It's historic brands, of college football. It's probably what the networks want when you're getting matchups, and it's unique matchups. Oh, you know, Notre Dame, Penn State. Hey, as Aaron said, these are two very similar teams that probably produces a really great game. Ohio State, Texas, man, those are some great fan bases. That game's going to be wild. And so this could be very interesting. And I've been hyping college football up all year. I know I talked to, my wife probably particularly, where she just finds college football, it's always blowouts and stuff whenever we turn on games. And I'm like, this season, if you weren't a huge college football fan, with the playoff and the different things involved in the season, has really taken some of college football to the next level.
Yeah. One thing I like about all these teams, though, no one has like really won, you know, recently any championships. What, Ohio State's been like, what, 20 years? Texas has been at least 20 years. Penn State, don't remember. Notre Dame,
what, 88?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Texas, 2004.
Yeah.
Penn State, what, maybe 91 with Joe Paterno? When was the last one? I mean, we were young, real young.
I don't remember that one.
Your daughter's type age, so I don't really remember.
Yeah.
And Ohio State was 2006.
2006?
Texas?
No, Ohio State.
Yeah, that sounds about
Ohio
right.
Ohio State, well, 2016? Because they won the 2014 when they beat Oregon in the first four-team college football playoff.
Oh. Who's on that team?
That was Cardale Jones.
Jesus.
And then I think they came back and won another one with Zeke in maybe 2016, 2017. Like Urban Meyer's like second the last year.
No, 2014 is their last national championship.
Okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But yeah, I mean, these games, I think Ohio State-Texas is going to be the most watched college football game maybe ever, ratings-wise, for sure.
It'll be a great game. I'm in, not the
Cotton Bowl,
good.
In the Cotton Bowl in Texas, yeah, it's a huge matchup, huge brand.
In Texas, wow.
In Penn State,
Texas.
Notre Dame, classic Blue Bloods, old-school college football. You know, Al Golden's alma mater.
Yeah.
Penn State.
Penn State, last one, 1986.
86, the year we were born.
Wow.
Well, Jason was born, what, 85? But
yeah, he's 85. Yeah. The Coyer's 86.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to be on that one, Rome. All day we're going to be on that one.
You got to be born on a five or for a zero, man. What are you doing here? You know, it's so much cooler.
My ex was born in 85. I'm not too fond of that 85 year.
1985 is the year Back to the Future came out, and then he went in back in time to 1955.
You know what? I watched that movie again. Not a fan.
Wow.
It's not that good. One is okay. Two, three, throw it away.
No
worst
way.
Worst trilogy ever.
Get out of here, man. Yeah. Worst take ever. What is that?
No, it's up there as bad, overrated trilogies, for sure.
Get out of here, man.
No, yeah. I can't wait to do a top worst trilogy than that. Like, that's why you don't do sequels. Just end it with one.
No. The second one, you go actually
the
into
hangover?
The future. Okay, I can agree with you, the hangover. But now, Back to the Future 2, he goes into the future. You have the classic futuristic Nikes that, you know, Nike's trying to make actually.
That was kind of cool. That
2015.
Was cool. Just that dialogue sucks, dude. It's terrible.
Get out of here, man. That's a terrible take.
Why do it? This movie pod is going to be fire, man. We're going to be yelling at each other. All right. That'll do it then. We'll go more into depth for the semifinals. Is that what you call it? Semifinals?
Semifinals.
Yeah.
The semifinals. Semifinals? Semifinals. Semifinals?
Potato.
New York. Cool. Guys, we can do lines, but we'll have to do them really quick.
Yeah, we can do them quick. This week's a weird week anyway, so.
Quick break. Time for some Thursday night lines. It's the last one of the year. First one of the new year. A lot of things going down. Lots of rumors already for the offseason. But Aaron, if you want to, or Jason, if either of you guys want to put your 10 cents on impact on the playoffs and all that stuff, go ahead. Where's my phone? All right. Cleveland Browns at Baltimore Ravens. Ravens favored by 18. This is on Saturday. We have two games on Saturday, unfortunately. Did not know my Steelers were playing that day either. over under 41.5. I think this one's pretty easy. It's just, do they cover the 18?
You said 18. I'm seeing 19.5 right now, Aaron. I don't know what you're seeing.
I printed out Circa's contest lines earlier. They had it at 18. Let me see. So we'll go with 18, I guess.
18. Well, I got feedback earlier that in recent episodes, I have copped out to Rome and too much stay away game stuff. So I'm taking a hard stance on every single game this week. So I'm gonna listen to the feedback that I got, that people want some takes on who's going to win and not just stay away. So it's a huge spread, but it's Lamar Jackson versus fourth string quarterback Bailey Zappi for the Cleveland Browns. Give me the Ravens minus
from the
18.
Patriots. How do you end up there?
Yeah, I got nobody left.
Yeah, it's up to 20 now. On my side, it's up to 20.
Well, ESPN bets got minus 19.5, and that's what I'm reading. So give me the 19.5, and I'll still take the Ravens.
I'm going to agree. I mean, the Ravens, obviously, if they win, they clinch the division and home field. Browns, Bailey Zappi, as Jason just mentioned. You know, a name from the past since we were talking about Back to the Future. Here he comes, Bailey Zappi. Agree. Baltimore wins. They should win big. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the Browns backdoor this game. Jason's seen that last week at the Holiday Bowl. So it could happen here, but I'll take the Ravens minus 19.5, 20, whatever it is.
Dude, that's a lot of points, man. That's a lot of Jesus. Points.
I'm old enough to remember I was in New England for the Bears-Patriots game on Monday Night Football a few years ago, and my cousin Brad and all the Patriots fans were clamoring for Mac Jones to be benched for Bailey Zappi. And now he's fourth string week 18 starter for the Cleveland Browns.
I do remember that. I think this can be part of like a parlay play for me. 18 points is a lot, dude. I don't know. Even with Zappi, the Baltimore is on fire. God, you guys might just talk me into it. Cincinnati Bengals, 2.5-point favorites against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's Saturday night, 48.5. Pittsburgh, I believe if they win and a few other scenarios play out, they can get up to the third seed. But if they lose, they're automatically down to 6. Is that correct? Something
if
like that?
If they win and Baltimore loses, they get the 3.
That's not happening.
If they win and Baltimore wins, they get the 5.
Oh.
If they do lose out and the Chargers happen to win, then they would go to 6.
Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Well, I hate to say it for your Steelers, Rome, but they're on a 3-game slide right now. Yeah. The Bengals offense looks like the best thing in football. Give me the Bengals minus 2, putting your Steelers down to that 5th or 6th seed, whichever one plays out.
Rome, I'm going to jump back on the Tomlin bandwagon. This team has looked bad. But Tomlin, on Christmas Day, said we're going to get it right. We're going to get the ship going in the right direction. They know a win here, and they get to play Houston. A loss here, and they're going to Baltimore. There's not more motivation than that. The Bengals have looked great, but I think the Bengals blew their mojo on that game against the Broncos. Talk about teams that are going to come out flat. I think since he comes out a little bit flat, I like the Steelers to win and cover 2.5 here.
Wow. Wait, why'd you say the Bengals lost their mojo?
I think they're going to lose their mojo. I think they used everything they had in the tank to beat Denver.
Maybe. I don't know. Do I root for the guy that I like as a quarterback and their wide receiver, or do I root for my team? It's a tough one. I'm going for Steelers, but I'm not going to like it. Buffalo Bills, Sunday, kicking off Sunday slate. 2.5-point favorites against the Pats. Why so close? 3.5 over under.
Is Josh Allen playing?
No. Well, he's gonna start and then exit to keep his 100-plus game starting active streak going.
I respect that, actually.
So he'll start probably a series or two, and then your boy Trubisky will be in there.
I got Bills.
Aaron, what do you got, man? I don't know. You threw me. You said Trubisky's starting going to be in this game.
and I just got a little embarrassed.
I got PTSD right now.
Man, there's so many of these games because so many teams don't have a lot to play for, Rome. That's why these spreads are so weird.
They got to change these week 18
Patriots,
stuff.
Patriots right now have the number one pick in the draft, right?
They do. If they lose this game.
If they lose. God. That means Travis Hunter. Oh, my.
Drake May. Against that weak Bills defense.
I mean, does Mayo want to screw the Patriots over before he goes out the door?
I don't think he's a good enough coach to do that.
He's no Lovie Smith, I'll tell you that.
So you guys believe me now they're going to fire him? Is that what we're hearing?
I don't think he said anything.
But... I don't know if they're going to fire him, but I believe they should move off him. I think I told you this, Rome, when we
Thank
spoke on
you.
Monday, that they should hire Ben Johnson.
We did talk about this.
Yeah.
And sorry, Jason.
We talked about it off air, so Jason wouldn't, you know.
Wow.
I didn't want to get chewed out
we
by
were
Jason
cheating on you,
on
man.
Air.
We were talking about Ben Johnson behind your back. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
He feels
I'm so
betrayed.
I'm betrayed. Listen, I am so stressing about Ben Johnson right
That's
now.
That's why we didn't want to bring it up.
I saw an article that said that if Mike McCarthy doesn't get re-upped by the Cowboys, that he's interested in the Bears head coaching job.
I kind of like that hire, actually.
No, I will file for Bears fan free agency at that moment, all right? I will be putting my application out
Dude,
to the other 31
best
organization.
Hiring. It's an upgrade on – it could be an upgrade on Lovie Smith.
It is an upgrade on Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith
back
took
to 10
team.
Wins. He'll be back no. to 10 wins.
No. No.
Even in that no. staunch division.
So who in the Bears organization – they are interested or McCarthy's interested in it?
A rumor was McCarthy's interested, but it's pretty much every...
We know Pete Carroll's interested
Pete
in
Pete Carroll's
it.
Interested in everyone. I don't care. Ben Johnson's the only name I want to hear announced.
All right. Yeah.
And that's why when I was talking to Rome, I said if I was the Patriots, I would do the deal. That way the Bears could use it as a cop-out and say we wanted him, but he didn't want us. Even though I'm not sure the Bears really want him. That they just might use it as a cop-out.
Yeah, dude, we
I'm,
can go
I'm worried
to
about- I don't want to
read too
the
much on Ben
thing.
Johnson stuff, yeah, because I got a lot to talk about, but we can do like an hour pod.
I'm going to take, man, I mean, Patriots. I'll take Patriots plus two.
I totally forgot, dude. We were talking about Ben
I'm
Johnson.
I'm going to take Patriots plus two.
Pats plus two. All right.
Yeah.
Jason.
I wouldn't bet these games, most of these games, but I would take Pats plus two if you ask me.
This is a stay away.
Well, I told you I'm not going to stay away. I will ride one more time with Mitchell Trubisky, and I'll take the Bills minus two.
Let's go. By the way, he did a terrible job in Pittsburgh, so I don't like him either. I totally understood that one.
The worst Jesus thing about Christ. Trubisky's the last quarterback to take us to the playoffs and pretty much almost
What's
win a game.
What's up Steelers just picking up all of the Bears trash, dude? It's disgusting. That's how quarterback dire
it's like
hell
ten
we are
it's,
in
It's
right
10
now.
Cents on the dollar, bro. That's 10 cents on the
I do
dollar.
Like Fields, though. I do like Fields. I hope they can develop him another year, and we'll see what happens. He'll be a good little, maybe a five-year. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know. All right. Saints at Tampa Bay Bucks. Bucks, 13.5-point favorites. Bucks got to win. Saints are trash. Oh, 13.5 points is a lot. I got this in a parlay along with that Baltimore Ravens.
At money line,
huh?
Yeah, he's
money
doing
money
parlays
there. Okay.
Yeah, I'll do a 3-team parlay, maybe four. No, I'll do 14 because this is not, the payback's not going to be a lot with these.
No,
this
is like $1,000 parlay to win $50.
Yeah, I know.
I was one like, of those.
I was like, the Ravens are minus 2,500. The Buccaneers are minus 900. What other? We got
Jeez,
the,
you're right, Aaron.
The Broncos minus 650. I'm trying to
yeah, this is those classic ones where you see those guys that have millions. They'll bet like $2 million to win like 40,000.
Makes
you know,
so
it's
sense.
One of those, yeah.
Such an ego
I mean, if you
thing.
Got the money to blow and, you know, the likelihood of them losing, yeah. I mean, they all have to win.
I wish I had $2 million to blow.
I mean, the Bucks are going to be a big play because that's, I mean, a lot of people, there's 18 contestants left in Cirque or Survivor and 14 of them can choose the Bucks this week. My guess is that will be a popular pick in that contest.
All right. Is that who you're going with, AT?
Yeah, Bucks have to win to clinch the division. Saints have looked god-awful. I mean,
with the points?
If I had to take a side on points, I would take Bucks 13.5. They're going to win this game. This is the lock of the week money line to win. Tampa,
this is the second most prolific offense in the NFL. Was it second or third?
It's up there. I would take the Bucks, 13 and a half, if I had to pick a side here.
You're talking me into it, Aaron.
Yep, I'm going to agree with Aaron as well. As shaky as the Bucks looked in that middle half of the season, they are a team early in the season that could beat anyone. Remember, they've beaten the top two seeds in the NFC with Detroit and Philadelphia early in the year. They need this game. You know, the offense seems to be clicking back with playing the Panthers, obviously helps a little bit. The Saints are just as bad, if not worse, than the Panthers. I'll take the same, minus, 13.5 with the Buccaneers.
Beautiful. Jackson Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars against the Colts. Favored by 5 points, 43.5, over under.
On principle alone, for how bad the Colts were last week, I'm taking the Jags plus 5 because that was a terrible performance by the Colts last week. I'm pretty sure they're beat up all over the place. You know, the Jags, I Peterson maybe have a job. If you're going to have your Ben Johnson conversation, I'm actually more concerned about potentially Ben Johnson going to the Jaguars if they were to move on.
We did talk about that too.
I mean, that's the one where you could tell me, like, hey, Ben Johnson, gets the most out of Trevor Lawrence like he did with Jared Goff. And
Trevor Lawrence is not that good.
I mean, he hasn't been that good, but everyone said that about Jared Goff, and he's turned into Ben Johnson turned into an MVP contender. The Jags are an organization that doesn't know what they're doing half the time, and they might give the unlimited power stuff to Ben Johnson or a GM of his choice. But going back to this game, you know, I think Mac Jones still in for the Jags. Is Flacco playing for the Colts, Aaron?
I think Richardson's practicing and trying to give it a go. I saw something on him. Let me see.
By the way, Steichen, hot seat. I'm doubling down on that one.
There is a rumor he is on a bit of a... Let's see.
Regardless, whether it's Flacco or Richardson, I think it's going to be a close game, but I'll take the Jags at the plus 5.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go the Colts. Let's see Richardson here. Remains sidelined, so it looks like he's not going to go. It's going to be Joe. But maybe it could be Joe Flacco's career last game. Who knows if he gets picked up again. Rome, you said it best. Steichen being mentioned, Ursi's not very happy. Pat McAfee's kind of stirred up the pot there, saying about how this team's kind of lazy. They don't practice hard. I think the Colts need to come out with a win. I mean, what we saw last week against the Giants was just disgusting, giving up 45 points to them. That's like giving up 50 points to Rome's Michigan team. Like, you can't allow that. They couldn't score that if I lined up on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm going to take the Colts here, minus 5. Jacksonville won last week. And, give me Colts, 5.
If I was doing a parlay, this is where I would beef that up with the Colts one here. Money line, but I'm leaning on the 5, but I think that's too much. I think they win by 3. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. Commanders at the Cowboys. Commanders favored by 5 points. And Dallas, 43.5 over under. Do the Commanders have to win?
Proceeding, yes.
Do they need a proceeding?
Yeah. If they lose and Packers win, they go to the 7th spot.
Oh, they're going to go all out. I got the Commanders. Rookie of the year. He's going to ball out.
Yeah, I'll agree with Rome. I think the concerning thing, I think a lot of people are on the Commanders because this went... It opened minus 3.5 with Circa aired, and now it's up to minus 6 right now.
Wow.
Let's see. Yeah, I see Washington at 6 right now.
Yeah, so I mean, with them having so much to play for, Cowboys have been super competitive, and maybe they get up for a game to give the Commanders a knockdown in the seeding. But I think the Commanders come out to play. They've had some special magic all year. I'll take the Commanders minus 6.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Commanders too. I think we talked about Dallas playing hard for Mike McCarthy and stuff, and I think they still will. But yeah, we talked about it last week. No CeeDee Lamb. That's Cooper Rush's escape guy. Washington needs this win. Jaden Daniels locks down Rookie of the Year. Commanders locked down the sixth seed. I like Washington here, -5, -6. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets up to 7 by game time.
Giants at the Eagles. Lots of stuff happening here. Only favored by 3 points, 37.5. That's really low. But I think Philly's sitting out most are starting, maybe having even like half their O-line out as well. I think they should be starting Saquon, man. He's like that close to the record. Why not? He's like, by all the other averages and stats, he's doing just as good or if not better than Dickerson did when he set the record. We've been really close with Henry before and Adrian Peterson, where they should have broke the record. Say, why not against the Giants, but he's out. I think Giants win this one.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the Eagles -3. I think your boy Kenny Pickett, is Pickett starting, right? They're going to bench Hurts too.
Yeah.
I think he's out.
Is he out?
Is he still injured?
Yeah, he's still banged up a bit. I believe they're going with the guy out of Stanford.
We definitely did our research on this week.
Yeah, we definitely did. Man.
It's week 18, guys. Whoever's listening on the pod, give us a break.
I said Pickett's question.
Let me see here.
I'm a child of divorce.
Let's see, Pickett.
College football was just so much more interesting this week, you know?
Did not participate in practice today. Second straight day, neither him or Hurts has practice, leaving Tanner McGee and Ian Book, an ex-Irish Notre Dame, as the only healthy quarterbacks.
Ian, he was what?
Yeah.
He was just okay, if that.
Well, regardless, I think overall we'll see some bad quarterback play on both sides of the ball. I'll take the Eagles. Giants got up for last week's game, but I don't think they can do it 2 weeks in a row.
You said 3 points. I'm going to take Giants +3. I mean, Philly's not got anybody playing. Who knows? That's just offensively. Who knows who they're going to keep out defensively? Dable would love nothing more to get another win. Malik Nabers, Tracy, Drew Lock. I'll take the 3 points. Maybe the Eagles win, but by 3 points or less. Give me the Giants +3.
I want to do like some crazy take, like Drew Lock locking in the win. In Dable's last game in New York, possibly. We'll see.
And then rumor is that he's interested in the Bears job too. So let's just throw everybody out there right now.
He did a great job.
He says, look at what I did with Josh Allen. I could do with Caleb.
Exactly.
I'm interested in the Bears job. Do I put that on LinkedIn or?
You should, actually.
Please.
They'll take a look at anybody. We know that for a fact. Carolina Panthers.
It's better if you're about to get fired from your job. That's
exactly.
Better to put that on there too. So
yeah.
Not that I want it to happen. It just might help you get a better chance at it.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm not. But I mean, I have experience as a varsity wide receivers coach, you know, 20 years ago and, you know, fantasy football champion, you know, not recently, but
I know
in the past somewhere.
I'm going to come out of retirement for fantasy football, try to win my 5th championship next year. Mark it down. Carolina Panthers at the Falcons, 7.5-point favorites. Falcons have to win for a lot of things to happen. 47.5 over under. Panthers have been looking nice. 3 of their wins of the season have come in the later half of the year. Penix.
Rome, you keep saying the Panthers look nice. They're 1-5 in their last 6, all right? So they looked nice, I think, 2 months ago at this point. So I think we've escaped whether the Panthers are looking nice. The Falcons got to win this. I'm taking the Falcons.
I agree, man. I think the Falcons, that heartbreak loss Sunday night against Washington. They're at home. Penix, they'll be juiced. I like the Falcons to win. I like the Falcons to cover here. They have to hope a lot. They have to hope the Saints play the best game of the season and upset Tampa. Don't see that going to happen. But give me the Falcons -8.
It's -8 for you?
Yeah, that's what I see here.
I see -7.5.
Are you taking the Falcons with the points too?
Yeah.
Jason?
Yes.
All right. Next game. Chicago Bears against the Packers. Pack favored by 10.
Against my better judgment, I feel that the Bears may come out to play this weekend, even though the Packers have something to play for. I'm going to take the Bears plus 10.
Jesus.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to agree. 10 points is a lot here in a game that was decided by one on a blocked field goal. Bears were embarrassed. That was a Thursday game. I think they come out with a little more pride. I think they play hard. Packers won a tough fight game. I'll take the Bears plus 10.
What does this loss mean for the Packers?
Even if they win and Washington wins, they're locked in at the 7. So,
doesn't matter then.
If Washington loses and they win, then they get the 6. I mean, it looks like they're going to Philadelphia. So, depending on, at halftime, if Washington's up big, they might just pull Love and all their guys and say, screw it, we're going to Philly no matter what. So, that bodes well for Chicago, who's going to play their guys. They're going to want to finish the year strong.
Yeah. I guess Bears are due for a win. You guys are talking me into it. I'll take the Bears with the points. Texans at the Titans. Titans favored by 2 points. Over-under 36.5. I haven't done any over-unders on this for this week yet. It's a bad week to do anything.
Yeah, really weird spread with a bunch of people benched, I'm assuming, in this game because the Texans got nothing to play for as well. I believe, Aaron, they're locked in at the 4 seed. Titans have been competitive within games. I'll take the Titans in this game.
Yeah, I mean, Jason said it. Texans have nothing to play for. I'm taking the Titans as well. Titans, they played these guys pretty tough. And actually, they beat the Texans in Houston earlier in the year, which I called like the lock of the week. I remember it because they were favored by like 7 points, and they jumped out to a 7-0 lead and then were down 3 scores. Give me the Titans here. Though I like them to win. Houston's got to rest up, get ready for the playoffs.
It's got the Titans. I don't like these games, man. This is baloney. San Francisco 49ers against the Cardinals. Cards favored by 4.5. Sunday afternoon game, 42.5 over under. Brock Purdy is out, I believe.
That's correct.
Who's their backup again?
Dobbs is going to get the start.
Ugh. Don't know, dude. Go ahead.
It's a game no one's playing for anything really at this point.
Pride? Does that exist?
Yes.
San Francisco has still had 4 Pro Bowl players selected. Tops in the league up there.
I'll take the Cardinals. Was it -4.5?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that Brock Purdy's not playing. Kittle's banged up. Debo's banged up. Bosa's already hurt. Fred Warner's playing on one foot with like a broken bone in his ankle. Not much for anything for the 49ers to play for. Maybe Josh Dobbs wants to beat his old team in Arizona, but I'm going to take the Cardinals too. They're the younger team, the healthier team here. Gannon's going to have these guys wanting to go out on a winner note. Even though I did see Connor got placed on the IR, he won't play, but give me the Cardinals -4.5.
I think San Francisco will play something. We'll do something. I'll take them in the opposite direction. KC Chiefs, Denver Broncos. Broncos favored by 10.5. Chiefs obviously have nothing to play for. They're locked in the number 1 seed. Are they sitting everybody out, or what's the deal? I haven't really kept up on who's out, who's in.
Yeah, their guys are out.
Huge spread. Would have been smart to take it early. Looked like they opened at the Broncos -8. Now with all these people sitting, it's at -10.5. The Chiefs were locked into a lot of close games with their best players, and Broncos have to win this game and clinch the, you know, clinch the playoff spot. They have the upper hand. All they got to do is win. I think they're not going to mess around coming into this game. The wild card betting this today would be, you know, they know the result of the Bengals game early from the Saturday result. So if the Bengals were to lose, then you're just talking it's a Dolphins Broncos decision. But with those games going on simultaneously, the Broncos have to win, and I think they'll put it on the Chiefs early with backups in, and they'll cover the 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, Carson Wentz is going to get the start for the Chiefs, but no Kelce. The Chiefs' offensive line is not great to begin with. My guess is Hopkins and a few of those other guys won't play. The defense main guys won't play. Agree with Jason here. Denver's not going to come out and mess around. Sean Payton's going to have a good game plan. I like the Broncos to win like 34-17 here. They'll cover the 10.5.
Chargers, 4-point favorites against the Raiders. 41.5 over under. Who you guys got?
Well, Aaron talked about it earlier. This could be a seeding game between Steelers and Chargers, depending on how the Steelers fare on that particular game. So on the Saturday. So again, a lot to look at. I still really like the Chargers. I think Jim Harbaugh gets his team up in games regardless of the stakes. So whether they're fighting for that positioning or not, I'll still take the Chargers -4.
Yeah, I mean, if the Steelers win on Saturday, take the Raiders +4. If the Steelers lose on Saturday, I like the Chargers -4. I mean, Herbert will play, McConkey will play. If the Steelers lose, and they'll go and get that win and they'll cover. If not, you're looking at like Easton Stick or whoever their backup quarterbacks are, and none of the main players playing for the Chargers. So, if you gave me a pick right now, just off what it is, give me the Raiders +4.
All right. Interesting. Some valid points there. Miami Dolphins -1 against the Jets. Is this Rodgers' last game? It's definitely going to be his and Devontae's last game as a Jet. In MetLife, 38.5 over under.
The Dolphins will be playing for the playoffs. Still a tight spread there, a -1. I'll take the team who's got stakes on the line. I'll take Dolphins.
Agree. I'll take Dolphins as well. Rodgers does get past the number TD 500, though.
You guys got Dolphins with the... Got it.
-1. So yeah. It's pretty much pick 'em.
I'm taking the Jets. Seahawks at the Rams. Seahawks 6.5-point favorites. Over under 38.5. Which way are you leaning?
Rams are sitting all their starters, I assume, too, Aaron. They are just locked in where they're at.
They're not locked in where they're at, but they don't care.
I still think it's a lot of points to give to the Rams. I'll take the Rams +6.5.
This has switched a lot, too, because the Rams opened as favorites, and now they're not. At home.
Yeah, well, the Rams aren't going to play Stafford. They're not going to play Cooper, Puka.
Garoppolo's playing?
Maybe Stetson Bennett.
What?
One of those two.
Over Garoppolo?
I haven't heard Garoppolo's name mentioned.
Dude, this guy was on fire, and then all of a sudden, a couple injuries, he's out.
Garoppolo's second on the depth chart.
Yeah, they didn't play him early in the year either, though.
Who is starting for the Rams at quarterback? Have they mentioned it?
I thought, damn it.
Right. No, they announced Garoppolo.
So Garoppolo is starting.
I'm taking Jimmy G, baby.
Jimmy G's owned Seattle throughout his career as his day with the Niners. I think Seattle gets some payback. Give me Seattle 6.5.
Who you got, Jason?
He took the Rams.
I'll take the Rams +6.5.
Nice. Vikings, game of the week. Really the only good game this week. Everything else is kind of trash.
Yep. I think it was an entire Sunday of terrible football. I think we'll probably only have a good Saturday game. We mentioned with that Bengals Steelers game.
Go through a
terrible slate of morning and afternoon games all for this finale, really, to end the season. 14-2 Vikings, 14-2 Lions, the number one seed in the NFC in the first round by on the line. I mean, this is some stakes going into it because the second, the team that loses down to the fifth seed, team that wins gets the first round bye. This is the week I think the injuries finally catch up to the Lions. Give me the Vikings plus +3.
Copy, paste, repeat, huh, for the last 6 weeks, Jason?
What?
No, because you've been talking about the injuries catching up.
Yeah, you hit the Lions last week, but no, the injuries are going to catch up. I'm going with Jason on this one. I like the Vikings to win. I think the defense is for Detroit is really lacking. It's going to be the difference here. And Vikings win, and Goff and the Lions return the favor to go to play the Rams at SoFi to open up the playoffs.
Don't know who to go for.
So you're giving me crap. You're giving me crap for saying about the Lions, even though I picked the Lions to beat the 49ers like a week ago.
I'm rooting for the Lions. I just like the team, but Vikings look really, really good. So I'm going for the Lions no matter what. Is that the last game? Is that it?
That's it.
That's it.
Game 272 on the NFL calendar.
272. I'm about to record that Sunday night game and watch it afterwards.
Just don't check your phone.
Yeah. That's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well, after that game is one of the great Mondays in sports, man. It'll be Black Monday. And so we can go back to Rome's coaches fired power rankings and see what couple of the coaches will no longer be in charge of their teams in the 2025 season.
Yeah. Actually, we should get a list right now from Rome who's going to get fired. Who's getting fired, Rome? Right now. Because when we come on, a lot of these guys are going to be out within the next 24, 40 hours after Sunday's games.
I think we should record our next pod Sunday night. After the Sunday night game.
Coaches could be fired by next Sunday night. But okay.
Right? After the Sunday night game?
I don't know. I think there's more coming from Monday. That way you can talk about coaches getting fired or maybe players even cut.
I think half of them, like maybe like one or two get fired Monday. I think it's going to be more on the next few days after that.
Rapid fire, Rome. I'm going to go from worst record right now to like the top, 10 or so. And then you just tell me whether the coach gets it fired. All right?
All right.
New York Giants, 3-13. Daboll get fired.
I didn't believe it, but now I do. All right. Gone.
I agree.
New England Patriots, 3-13. Mayo gets fired.
Crafts are idiots, but I hope they cut him. Gone.
Agree.
Tennessee Titans, head coach in first year, 3-13. Does he see year two?
Definitely sees year two. But he hasn't shown enough to be a real coach, though.
I'll agree.
All right. Cleveland Browns, 3-13. Stefanski rumored he wants out regardless.
I think he'll get his way out. It won't be a fire. It'll be a mutual breakup. Eventually, agree. Not on Monday.
Agree.
It'll be like a week or two after.
Carolina Panthers, 4-12. Rome says they've been hot the last couple weeks with their 1-6 record.
They look good. They look a lot better. They show promise. They stick around.
All right.
Agree.
Bears coach has already been fired. Jacksonville Jaguars, 4-12. Doug Peterson.
Dude, this has been like dead man walking for 10 weeks now. He's gone.
Agree. All right.
Las Vegas Raiders, 4-12. Antonio Pierce.
I don't know anymore. I think they keep him, actually.
I disagree. Pierce is out.
All right. Then you got Jets already fired, Saints already fired.
Well, they need
fired.
To double fire the interim coach, too, because he was terrible.
That leaves you all the five wins and worst. I'll end it at this. 6-10 currently, San Francisco 49ers.
He's staying.
They already came out and said he was staying.
All right.
What about Rome's other hot take early in the year? Zach Taylor, if he loses, is he out?
I hope he gets fired. I don't know. I think it's an outside chance. Joe Burrow's been pretty vocal.
Okay, here's another one. Mike McCarthy, out or contract renewed?
I think he stays. They're not going to get anybody better than that. Unless someone comes and sweep him up, you know, with a better offer. Is that the Bears? Is that somebody else?
And then you mentioned Steichen, Indianapolis, in or out?
I think he's gone.
Last one, Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel.
I think time's up on Tua McDaniel. But I think he stays, though.
We got to count on this. Rome's got like 10 coaches fired.
If I was the GM, he'd fire everybody.
Yeah. I think a name...
McDaniel, time is coming up soon, though.
He's going to get another year. I think a name to keep an eye on, who we've all been keeping an eye on, depending on how they do in the playoffs, is Sirianni in Philadelphia.
For sure. That's another one.
If they get beat in round one, he's out. He's out. I think they get to the Super Bowl.
It has to be at least NFC Championship or
nothing. I think you're right. I think you're right.
At least that end of like losing by a nail biter. Otherwise, he's out. For sure. Wow, that's a lot of coaches getting fired. Anybody else?
I'm looking over right now.
Jesus.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, McCarthy gets another year.
It'd be dumb, but I mean, and I don't think it's worth talking about, but the Buffalo Bills, if they get bounced early.
That, I was going to say, not only the Bills, but does Tomlin do a mutual parting of ways? If they lose and lose again, that'd be 5 straight losses to end the year.
So there's been lots of grumblings on Tomlin for about 5 years now.
Yes.
Yeah. People are like, you know, Jason, teams can get tired of winning consistently, all right? We want the chip, all right? We're not happy with the playoff berth. We want championships. It's not good enough.
This is what I want to ask Jason. If Tomlin does go, do the Bears scoop him up?
He doesn't want him. He doesn't want a culture guy.
Do you want Tomlin if he's there?
He wants a flashy offensive coordinator that's never been a head coach before.
Rome's right, damn it. He's right.
We don't want culture guy.
I love Tomlin, man, but you know.
All right.
Let me ask, Wagmeier face.
Jason, if the Bears do not get Ben Johnson, who's number two since you want an offensive guy?
I'll tell you who it is. You're not going to like it.
You're going to say Cliff Kingsbury.
Dude, that would be the worst mistake. You don't want Kingsbury. He's not a coach. He's not a head coach, at least.
I agree.
Good offensive coordinator, though. He's just stay there.
I'm going to be Flores. Honest with you, Aaron. Yeah, it's the
it's
answer.
Be Flores.
It's not who I want. I think that's why it's all in Ben Johnson. I'm struggling coming up with who the offensive person that's going to be the right offensive person to develop Caleb Williams. There are way too many ties to Flores and what Rome is talking about, where I can see the argument that they're going to make for Flores. I don't agree with it.
But who do you want it to be if it's not Ben Johnson?
It's not much left, dude. It's like this year's draft. We need another year or two to develop some more head coaches.
Well, let's put it this way. You don't get Ben Johnson. Zach Taylor gets canned. Stefanski walks. These guys are in that category.
Did any of those jump? Stefanski would be great.
Honestly, Stefanski I think could be there because I think
that might be the best hire out of all of them.
Yeah, he did a lot with little in Cleveland, and
he's a good coach. Yeah.
You
culture and offense. You get both of what you ask. Well, you get at least part of what you ask for.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, I don't know how much he had the decision of wanting Deshaun Watson, and that was the owner forcing Deshaun Watson onto him.
Well, Deshaun Watson was a top five quarterback.
Pre all the massages.
Yeah. They dug too deep. They did too much work.
I can make an argument for Stefanski. I think that's a really good name. Zach Taylor, it fits the mold in what I'm looking for, but does he make Caleb Williams better?
You know what? It'll fit the mold of more Bears disappointment. That's what it'll fit.
Likely, which will be the problem. I mean, honestly, no matter who they choose, it's probably going to be the wrong Prince. They said that after they fired Nagy and anyone would be an upgrade, and they narrowed it down to a bunch of guys that weren't there. It's a great question, Aaron. I have all my eggs in the Ben Johnson basket, and I'm fully expecting to be disappointed.
Man, just change teams, dude. You have the whole second half of your life ahead of you.
Yeah, and then he changes, and then they do great, and then you're just going to be like, why they change, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes patience is rewarded and loyalty.
Sometimes.
I think we didn't talk about, I don't think he's going to get a head coaching gig this time around, but a guy I like is Joe Brady. I don't think he's going to get a head coach job this time, but what he's done with Buffalo and Allen, another year like this, next year, he's going to be a hot commodity.
Let him win a Super Bowl first with the Bills.
Yeah. Brady was talked about early as the 1A, 1B with Ben Johnson. Could be great, but to me, everything about Joe Brady is what Matt Nagy was. Get the Bears hiring him because what he did offensively for the Chiefs as the offensive coordinator, but he had Patrick Mahomes and he had Andy Reid calling the plays, and we've already seen a Buffalo offensive coordinator get a head coaching position that was been a train wreck so far. So I don't love that. The offensive coordinator who really owns the offense is what I'm looking for, and I'm not sure Brady fits that mold just yet.
All right, well, I'll do it. We'll be back with the whole year in review. We'll go back to the tapes on the next episode to compare our preseason predictions with what happened, give ourselves grades. And a complete breakdown for round one of the playoffs. How's that sound?
Those tapes weren't burned?
No. I started reviewing them. I'm writing down notes.
Not like the old controversy 20 years ago tapes?
You know what? I have. They're out right now. They're right here. A stack of controversy recordings. None of them are being read. I don't know what. I don't know. I'm going to take it to some expert.
The only controversy takes I had is probably Aaron and I breaking down the terrible Detroit Lions drafting wide receivers year in and year out during that time.
Yeah, what was the name of the guy they got from Michigan
Charles
State?
Charles Rogers.
There it
Charles
is.
Charles Rogers.
Yeah.
Supposed to be Megatron Jr.
No, I think that was pre-Megatron. I think Megatron was the last. He was the last wide receiver of like the four in a row they drafted in the first round or something or whatever.
Maybe.
It was.
They were doing. Yeah, Rodgers. I remember.
Are you talking about the controversy days?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh Jesus, I don't remember anything. I just remember that guy though, with the glasses. Kind of weird in the studio. What was his name? With the hot wife.
No idea.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't remember the name.
All right. Anyways, I'm exhausted. I got to get up early, do a 14-hour round trip to LA and back.
You be safe. We'll talk, I guess, Sunday night or Monday, whenever we're talking Black Monday here in Fire Coaches.
If you guys want to wait for Monday, I guess. I think Sunday would be kind of cool, but, you know.
Well, Monday we can do early. There's no Monday night game, so we could do 7, 7:30. 8, whatever time works.
Alright. Sounds good, guys. That'll do it. Sources from the sofa. Hell of a first year in football. End of the year results coming up. We'll be back.